free advice to make that garden and that lawn look great. The Green Country Gardener Program is brought to you by Green Thumb Nurseries and Greenhouses, Peter's True Value Hardware, Kelly Banks Tree Service, and United Rentals.
Hello and welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program on your radio dial.
Good old banjo picking.
It is such great banjo picking.
You won't hear anywhere else but here. That's a unique original song. So
it's awesome.
Anyway, out in the garden, golly, let's start from the ground up.
Yes, let's do it.
Let's talk about lawns.
Ooh.
It's the first thing you see when you walk up to your house is a lawn.
I don't like looking at mine sometimes.
I don't mind. I have a brown and green lawn right now.
Yeah. Tis the season.
Tis the season. You bet. It's kind of dry and everything else. So, anyway, it's not quite time to winterize a lawnmower yet. So, time is running out, however, to install fescue grass. So, it's time to get busy. A lot of people have difficulty growing grass in the part sun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's due to several factors. So, not necessarily the amount of light that's available.
Right.
But it's the type of soil and, you know, competition for resources, such as trees and their roots and whatnot. And being aware of a good fertilizing program, too. And soil structure. And I go on and on and on. But anyway, it can be a little difficult to grow grass on the trees. And you have to pay a little more attention to it. So, but anyway, now is the time of year to go ahead and try to get some grass established. But we're running out of time.
Okay.
In other words, there's a window of time in the fall when we can plant fescue seed, if you will. And
gotcha.
It's a very short period of time because if it starts getting cold, it really won't develop and grow effectively. So we got great weather coming up this week. Super weather. Great weather coming up this weekend. So now's the time to try to start the tiller and get the ground, ready.
Got to get going now.
Get the ground ready for that. And it's... time is running out, like I said, a deep tilling and some compost, too. If you haven't had success with your fescue grass, mm-hmm. there's got to be a reason, because a lot of people have great success with it.
Right.
So there is some variable in the equation you need to solve, and it's either soil structure or competing roots from, you know, trees and whatnot, shallow roots especially, like hackberries and whatnot. Forget it.
Hackberries. Come on now.
No, you just put down mulch.
I'll take care of it.
Or or the soil chemistry or fertility or water, one of those factors
right.
is causing some difficulty. So if you haven't done it already, you probably want to go ahead and consider getting a soil test.
Right.
Now we have some little science lab soil test kit things at the nursery, which is they're fairly accurate. They give you a good idea for where your pH is and all that. So a good rendering of what your soil is made of.
Yes.
And then trying to dig a hole in it, too. So if you have to jump on the shovel to get it to go in the ground. And this week, I literally jumped up and down on the shovel a few times.
Just to get you through?
Just to get started on planting some trees.
Yeah.
I think this last week, we planted a forest of trees this week. Really. A bunch of them.
Was it difficult? In some cases,
it was.
Other times, the ground was so smooth, it's like cutting through butter.
Yeah, but no, it's still a little bit dry down deep.
Yes.
So anyway, make sure the soil is ready. And fertilization is very important, too. And the timing of the fertilization is very important. There seems to be kind of a mystery as to how much and when to put down. And the extension agent has all kinds of information.
Mm-hmm.
So of those of you with internet access, you can go to greenthumbok.com. At the bottom of the page, there's links to the various suppliers and whatnot at the bottom. And one of them is the OSU Extension Service. And you click on that, and you'll get an idea of these fact sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some for lawns and growing tomatoes and pumpkins and all kinds of things. So it's kind of interesting to see.
Pretty convenient, yeah.
How things are done. So anyway, so that and on there, there's a sheet for how to grow grass in Oklahoma. So, and it's very helpful.
Hmm.
So anyway, at this point in time, leave the Bermuda grass kind of alone right now. You really don't want to scalp it at this point in time. It's going to need some stuff in it.
some stuff. Stuffing?
Thatch.
Thatch.
To help insulate it from the winter.
Gotcha.
If we have a winter like we had last winter. And there's no snow associated with it. You're going to get some damage on your Bermuda grass. We got some damage here and there on the Bermuda grass, but it came back pretty good. So don't really scalp or reduce the height right now. You want to preserve the stolons. Now, Bermuda grass has roots, of course, and then they have stolons. Stolons are those little things that crawl across the sidewalk that you have to edge every week. Mm-hmm. And that's really the top part that really survives the winter. So you want to try to not to scalp that out right now at this point. Okay? And about the same for zoysia grass. You really don't want to do too much to it right now at this point. Just kind of maintain status quo. You might tidy it up a little bit and make it look kind of nice and square on the edges and so on. But it's about ready to quit for the summer.
Yeah.
So, yay.
It's getting cool.
Got time to think about putting the mower to sleep for the winter. Kind of the same, like I say, kind of the same for zoysia grass. However, on the horizon are the weeds. And
no.
What was it, 41 degrees out there right now?
Yeah, yeah.
That probably is the signal for these winter spring weeds to start growing.
Mm. And that doesn't sound fun.
When it starts to cool down, the days are getting noticeably shorter and all that. And they're, come on, Charlie, time to wake up. Okay, George, let's get up and go and make some, let's make weeds. So you want to put down a pre-emergent at this point.
Pre-emergents come in.
Yeah, a pre-emergent works by stopping the germination process. In other words, it starts to grow, then it just can't. And that's basically how they work. So there are several methods to apply a pre-emergent. You can do a liquid that you apply on the ground, or you can do a granular, or you can hire it done, one of three.
Right.
But typically a pre-emergent is applied at this point in time. And they last generally about 3 months. So this is October, November, December. So they'll last quite some time to help control the henbit and the chickweed and so on. But you need to get after it now because this cooler weather is going to spur it to grow. Okay?
Now's the
and
time.
There are several pre-emergents. Barricade is prodiamine is one. Works rather well. Prodiamine has a very long lifespan on it. And we've sold a lot of prodiamine this last week. Pendulum, pendimethalin, is another one. Hmm. It lasts a pretty good amount of time. I use it in my beds, too, to help keep the mulberry weed under control. Dimension, dithioper, is another one. And, of course, Treflan is what the cotton farmers use to keep the weeds out of their cotton. But anyway, it's a fairly broad-based, effective pre-emergent herbicide. Hmm. Now, if you do have the weeds come up, and you see them around, you can use a post-emergent herbicide. And that can be used pretty much throughout the winter. Because, you know, sometimes in December it's 70 degrees.
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah, but my daughter was born December the 19th. And, of course, Mom made the little hat and all that, and cute little outfit to take her home and all that. Well, it was 75 degrees.
Well, you know, it might be cold another day. But
yeah, it was cold, you know, the next week. It was fine. We had it all the rest.
Yeah, it goes back to, like, the 30s.
But anyway, so the weather's highly variable. And in the wintertime, we can take advantage of these warm spells by doing a post-emergent control. You can still use a pre-emergent, and it's still effective, but it's not as effective if you wait till the weeds are up.
Gotcha. So what post-emergents would you use?
Post-emergent? Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of them out. 2,4-D, Trimec. There's several of them out there that you can use to control the weeds after they come up. Kevin knows all about that.
Well, if you're listening and you need a post-emergent, just text Kevin then.
No, we can get into that on a later show. But anyway, yeah, but the Trimec, the 2,4-D works very well to control weeds post-emergent. Those are broadleaf weeds. And then there's narrowly with the crabgrass, which we use this assortment of pre-emergent around Easter in the spring for that, too.
Gotcha.
When these wear out, it's time to reapply for the onslaught of the crabgrass in the spring. So, anyway, that's kind of the deal with chemistry in the soil. Also, fertilization. Bermuda grass is not a good idea to put fertilizer on Bermuda grass at this point, because it really won't use it. And if it does use it, if we do have a warm spell, it'll grow, and then it won't be strong enough to tolerate the winter. So it's not a good idea to put a high nitrogen fertilizer on your Bermuda grass at this point. The same thing holds true with zoysia, rather. However, if you do have the fescue and you got a good stand, now's prime time. It's actively growing right now. It likes this cool weather, and it's time to put down those fertilizers for your fescue grass at this point.
Okay.
And kind of the same thing holds true with fescue as it does for Bermuda and all that. That is, if you do use a fertilizer with some iron in it, it'll help darken the color real well.
We're talking with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, on the Green Country Gardener Program. It is 8:19. If you have any questions for Larry, you can reach us at 918-336-1400. That's 918-336-1400, or the toll-free number 1-800-749-5936. Larry, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
I'm from United Reynolds. If you got a weekend project coming up, you can pick this up on Friday. You got 3 days. Get your project done without being in any type of a hurry. Bring it back on Monday morning, 1 day charge. It's a great deal at United Reynolds. It doesn't put a lot of pressure on you to get the job done. You can kind of do it at your own pace, especially being homeowners. You only pay the 1 day rental. You can give us a call at United Reynolds, 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is getting busy and getting ready for fall. Just in time for fall planting, you'll find new shipments of pansies, mums, and flowering kale. And they also have fall arrivals of trees and shrubs. And right now is a great time to sow fescue seed and apply pre-emergent for winter weeds. Come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
This is Laura Walton with Martha's Task. We love Bartlesville Radio. Every time we advertise, we always have a big boost in business as radio gets results.
Radio gets results. Radio gets results. That's radio.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house, and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Yes, the sounds of October.
Yeah, don't you love it?
Love it a lot.
That music kind of goes with the cooler weather.
It does.
Anyway, in the garden right now, it's of course time to plant trees and shrubs, pansies, spring bulbs, etc. Time to prune those trees and shrubs too. If you got some errant growth on a tree or something that's kind of damaged, it's time to go ahead and take care of that too right now. It's time to divide perennials, such as peony, iris, and daylily, liriope, and many other perennials.
Many perennials.
Many perennials. It's time to divide them, yeah. Be sure to divide so you have plenty of root on each division so they'll survive real well. I got a bunch of iris in my backyard. They've just kind of grown together and taking up a lot of space, and they're kind of no longer attractive when there's just so many of them.
Right.
And they bloom only for a limited period of time, so they're going to get divided this weekend. I'm running out of place to put them, too.
Right.
There's an area by the fence I can put some, maybe.
Maybe.
But anyway, so it's kind of, it's time to do, it's been time to divide the iris for quite some time. So they're very tolerant of being relocated. They don't seem to care too much. Kind of easy-going plants. The peonies are a little different. Daylilies, they won't do anything until next spring. And the liriope, which is monkey grass, it can be moved anytime. It doesn't care, but now's a good time to do it. Make sure you have plenty of roots for each division. It's, like I said earlier, it's the last time to plant grass seed. So this weekend might be kind of the cutoff time. Typically, Columbus Day is sort of the last time, but the weather seems to be pushed back a little bit this year. Mm-hmm. So it's still time to do that. And what I said about pre-emergent herbicides for the lawn, it's a good time to do it for the beds too, if you use those on a regular basis. Or you can mulch real good. Now, going into fall is a good time to apply an extra layer of mulch because it does give some insulation from the cold and it does help preserve moisture.
Right.
So, and it makes it look nice too. So you might consider getting some mulch in. And we do have the nursery. We do have bulk mulch. In other words, we come in our big old one-ton truck and it's got a tip on it. So we just put the button and just dumps it on your driveway.
That's pretty nice.
And then you go from there.
Now, if it was me, I'd probably just leave the thing there, that giant
mound. It'll be there. Yeah. Oh, I'll get around to it next spring. And then, wait a little, whatever.
Two springs
hot
come
yet.
By.
I don't need it yet. So, yeah, be prepared for some work when that happens, when it comes in. And make sure you have time to do it. That's kind of important, is making sure we set time aside to do this kind of work in the landscape. Otherwise, things pile up.
Yes.
And you don't want that to happen, so.
What else is going on in the garden, Larry?
We have pansies and kale plants at the nursery, too. Now's the time to plant those. I really like to plant them this time in the fall because the ground is still warm. We planted a tree this week, one of many, and the ground was noticeably warmer when we got about wanted to curl up in and go to sleep.
Oh, yeah, that sounds pretty nice.
I was at the cats in the neighborhood were snoozing. But anyway, so, and it was noticeably warmer. And the other day when it was really cold, all the lakes were steaming up real good too. So, indication that the ground is, it was just so hot. I mean, it was like a kiln here for longer than a month.
To describe it, yeah.
Yeah, it was a kiln.
Very hot.
Yeah,
very
the roads have this porcelain quality to them.
Yes, it is.
After being so hot. So the ground is really warm right now. It's a great time to establish trees and things because the roots are really going to grow out in that warm area. And when the summer heats next year, when they fire up the kiln again next year, they'll have a good root system ready to go.
So. Yeah, got to be ready for it.
And we have a good selection of trees at the nursery right now, too. So,
what selection you got there, Larry?
We have, everything from acers to zizifus to all kinds of stuff. So,
come on by the nursery. They're right off of Nowater Road.
So anything from maples to, say, mulberry. We don't have any mulberries, but the ginkgo trees and things like that. We do have one, a Kentucky coffee tree. It's a male clone, so it doesn't have seeds everywhere, but it's a pretty tough tree. Ugly as ever when they're not on, but when the leaves are out, they're really nice. But they're a good, stout, hardy tree. But
right.
We have just one of those. We got several kinds of trees to choose, and some of them start to turn color, too. And I noticed that out in the landscape, a lot of plants, trees are starting to turn. This elm outside a window is starting to get a little bit of color on the leaves.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of late for it. But
yeah, you look off in the distance, and there's things are starting to change a little bit.
Yeah, like this tree out here, it always turns really bright yellow for like a solid month, and then it's just it's over.
Of course, it's kind of late this year because we've been in a kiln all summer long.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, we got a caller?
I believe so, Larry. Let's give it just a second, and we'll verify that here.
Okay, anyway. So pansies and violas. What I like to do on a composition with pansies is to maybe put some of the large pansies in the backdrop and a row of, say, of violas in front. Makes a really nice dual texture kind of thing.
We do have a caller.
Okay, good.
Good morning. You're on the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you?
Hey, good morning. Beautiful fall morning.
Yes.
We have a raised bed that we're in the process of building.
Uh-huh.
It's three landscape timbers tall.
Sure.
And we put down about 3 or 4 inches of mulch in the bottom of it just to kill off there or to make sure no grass is going to come up through it. When would be a good time to go ahead and fill that with the soil mix and maybe put some perennials in? Would this be a good time to do that, or...
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, it'd be a good time. If you can, we do have some perennials, several perennials at the nursery to choose, and they're hardy. I mean, we leave them outside all winter long in cold frames. So yeah, you plant perennials, they just don't make any appearance until next spring.
Right. So, do you have any butterfly plants?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we have butterflies. And, we have some echinacea in bloom, too, oddly enough. So
okay.
Butterflies like those, and some lantanas and things. Butterflies kind of like those, so.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks
we'll
for calling.
We'll be seeing you in the next couple of weeks.
Well, good luck. Good luck with the raised beds. Keep in mind also that the raised bed's going to dry out maybe a little quicker than the other areas. So be conscious of the water levels, too. So especially going into the winter. Overwintering plants don't like to be dried out.
Right. I understand.
Very
appreciate
good.
It.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
And Larry, real quick, we'll mention that number again. If you have any questions for Larry, you can reach us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. I believe we were talking about...
Pansies Maiolas.
Yes.
And I like to sprinkle in a few cabbage and kales in there, too. They give you some real big color thing. Going to
big old color.
Big old color thing, yeah. You know, it's a different texture.
Want a big old color thing? Come on by the nursery.
Come on, we got some big color things. But anyway. So, anyway, we have some azaleas that are blooming right now. The autumn or the all season azaleas. They bloom periodically through the summer. When the weather shifts, in other words, when it's 1 week, it's 100 degrees. The next week, it goes down to, you know, like 99. They will put on some blooms. And going into the fall, I was at a house yesterday doing some sprinkler repair and landscaping, borders and things. And the azaleas were blooming in the backyard. So that's kind of cool.
That's cool.
Now, the encore azaleas need more sunshine than the others. So don't expect them to perform in the shade. They really don't. They need a fair amount of sunshine for them to work. Culturally, they still have to be planted the same way as azaleas. They are azaleas. They're ericaceous plants. They require a low soil pH. So you have to apply the proper cultural techniques when you're planting them. But they do need a bit more sunshine than your regular azaleas do.
Right.
Regular, the spring blooming azaleas. Okay, so anyway.
Yes.
Anyway, the Nandinas and the burning bushes are beginning to show a little bit of color, too. The dwarf Nandina, one of my favorite shrubs, and all landscapers love dwarf Nandinas. There's no bugs and very little care, and they don't grow so big, and good fall and winter color, and so on. So anyway, they're starting to show a little bit of color. So the burning bush especially. I have a burning bush in my yard, several shapes, all the same variety, but different uses are applied to them. Some of them use as a hedge along the back fence. One of them is used as a tree form. It's about 8 feet tall. And the leaves are starting to turn a bright red on in places here and there. Really nice to look at. You can see it around from the inside the house, kind of around the corner there. And then some are used for very low shrubs. In other words, they're going to really put on a good color show. When they go dormant, I take the hedge clippers and just cut them down to the nibs almost. And they stay nice and small, a low shrubby mass in another part of the landscape. So it's just a matter of culture, how you treat these burning bush, and how large they get, and what they do in the landscape too. So they're very easy to manage plants, and I really think they look better if they're just cut back on occasion.
Slice them.
Get out the diesel powered pruning shears and cut them back a little bit. But anyway, so those are starting to show some color too. So anyway, that's kind of coming up with the color and whatnot. We do at the nursery. We do have some unusual things for the landscape and for winter or fall decorations. We've got some odd-looking little pumpkins here and there. And those are selling. They're going out the door like crazy.
I really love a pumpkin, including my wife.
Well, these are about the size of an apple pie.
Oh.
About 12 inches or so in diameter. And some of them are just ugly, and the ugly ones are selling faster.
They have to have a home, too.
So
you know?
We got some unusual-looking stuff there, too. But anyway, so for the fall decorations, we have plenty of cool-looking stuff for that, too. So anyway, you might call and talk about maybe some landscaping, too. We take, a look at your house, and it needs help. What can I do to improve my house? Well, landscaping is probably one of the least expensive and probably the most cost-effective ways to enhance your property, too. So anyway, we can solve your landscaping problem. Just give us a call, set up an appointment. We do that by appointment, and I'll come out unless it rains. But anyway.
I'm curious, Larry, how many landscapes do you think you've probably done?
I don't know. We do one a week. Yeah, I've been in business for 40 years, so that's a lot.
Quite a bit.
We've done a lot, yeah. So anyway, so all you have to do is get the courage to call us up, have us out. So.
And they can get you taken care of.
That's right. So anyway, there's several ways to look at your landscape and what to do and how to respond to what's there. And there's several factors in the landscape you need to consider. And that is, of course, the terrain. How does the terrain work? The slope. How does that work? Is there enough slope coming away from the house? Is the drainage any good?
Mm-hmm.
Soil type. How much room is there available? And so on. What's the architecture of the house? How much is the customer willing to put time into this landscape? Right. All these factors you have to consider. The drainage. What kind of soil do you have? Everybody's got terrible soil. That's kind of a given.
The things you don't commonly think of sometimes, but you got a lot of other things on your mind.
Yeah, yeah. So, and watering, you know, and exposure and wind exposure and sun and all this other stuff. All these factors you have to consider when doing a landscape plan. It's just not just picking your favorite plants and putting them in a row in front of the house. It's not quite that simple. But anyway, that's kind of what we do.
What's that phone number, Larry, if people are listening right now?
333-4091. That's the nursery's number.
Call the nursery, 333-4091, you say?
Mm-hmm.
And you can reach us here on Green Country Gardener if you have any other questions for Larry at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. It is 835, 43 degrees. We have sunny skies in downtown Bartlesville shaping up to be a beautiful Saturday. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Green Country Gardener.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is getting busy and getting ready for fall. Just in time for fall planting, you'll find new shipments of pansies, mums, and flowering kale. And they also have fall arrivals of trees and shrubs. And right now is a great time to sow fescue seed and apply pre-emergent for winter weeds. Come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
Food is the subject on the dining guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 FM and 104.9 FM K-Rig. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Speedy Drinks, and KFC, all in Bartlesville, CV's in Dewey, and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The dining guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 K-Rig.
How many times have you asked yourself, what's the forecast for tomorrow? Just call the Weatherline Forecast Service, 918-336-2900, and find out. You get the forecast, plus the time and temperature from the studios of News Talk 1400 K1. We update the Weatherline as our forecast changes, so you're always up to date. Put that number in your phone and call 918-336-2900.
Stop by Peter's True Value in Dewey today and pick up your bargain of the month. A 10-piece pliers and wrench set by Master Mechanic for $19.99. While there, pick up a 200-count heavy-duty cloth-like box of rags by Intex for $8.99. Keep your hardwood flooring clean with Bona 160-ounce refill cleaner or 160-ounce hard surface cleaner for $22.99 each. And pick up Pine Sol, 144-ounce multi-surface cleaner is just $8.99, but only at Peter's True Value. Are you in doing?
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Oktoberfest. It's a great time of year, isn't it?
You bet. Got a caller, don't we?
Yes, we do.
All right.
Good morning. How can we help you on the Green Country Gardener program?
Yes, good morning. I have a pretty large Yaupon holly.
Yes.
In a corner of my yard, uh-huh. And I wondered when the best time to prune that is.
February.
Okay.
Yeah, you can cut it back.
If it's over a sidewalk, would it hurt to cut that off now?
Yeah, if it's in the way, go ahead and cut it back. But I do like to wait till the spring. It recovers quicker from the cutback if you do that. Go ahead. What you're saying, yes.
Also, it didn't get any berries this year. Was that from the freeze last year?
Probably.
Winter.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds like if it doesn't have any berries on it, it might be in a little bit of trouble. Probably next spring when you do cut it back, you want to maybe fertilize it real well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, the Yaupon, when I moved into my house, the thing was 20 feet tall, but the roof of the house is only about 8 feet off the ground. And this thing was eating the house. And I cut it back, it looked like Medusa's hair piece on the ground when I cut it. There wasn't anything left. And it's come back very nicely. So, yeah,
okay.
Don't be afraid to really, really cut it back, but timing is very important. A lot of people have killed their Yaupons by pruning them at the wrong time.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling. Yes, it looked like this. An upturned hand.
An upturned hand.
Yeah, when it was this big bushy thing. And yeah, like that's what it looked
it
like.
It almost looks like something in the spirit of Halloween, like from Beetlejuice.
Yeah, but anyway.
You're talking about that statue?
Oh.
From Beetlejuice? You haven't seen Beetlejuice?
No.
I would encourage you to watch it sometime if you want to watch it.
I see a lot of Beetlejuice when I step on it. But anyway, yeah, so Yaupons, they're a little bit picky as to when. And I remember I cut mine back, and it came back real nice. One of the neighbors saw that, apparently, and they did it at the end of the summer, and they killed it.
Yikes.
So yeah, you want to do that only at a certain time. And don't be afraid to cut it back heavy. We've done that before. I said, okay, I'll cut this back to grow back really nice. They go back in the house, they come outside, and they start crying. What? There's nothing left of this thing.
It'll be all right.
I said, it'll come back. Sure enough, it does.
Breathe. Just breathe a little bit. Everything's fine.
The patient will recover very nicely.
I've been doing this for a long time.
But once in a while, you have to do that to the Yaupons. They get out of hand. And I don't know. But this one, I didn't plant it. It's 2.5 feet from the house. And that's a bit close for a plant that gets 20 feet tall. So anyway, that leads us to the tree of the week.
Actually, Larry, I did get a text question.
Okay, sure.
Ike is asking, if you are battling fungus and brown spout on roses, is there something you can do to prepare for winter?
No. Typically, there's not much of a problem when the weather's cool like that. The fungus really likes the heat. So probably the best thing he can do is maybe just pick off those leaves that are damaged, and they'll put on some new ones.
Okay.
What kind of rose? Is it a knockout rose or just a regular old hybrid tea?
He did not say.
Ah, okay.
But maybe he'll text me if he's listening.
Yeah. Now, there are rose fungicides you can put on there, but as long as it's cool like this, you're not going to have much of a problem with it. So they really won't have any effect on it, because the fungus is, what you have left over is the result of the fungus from the heat.
He says he has knockout roses.
Yeah, knockout roses. Yeah, about 2 months ago, cut them down real low. But knockouts look kind of scruffy right now. So I did mine like that, cut them back really, really low, and they look really nice and fresh, and got the reddish colored leaves and blooms on them. They look really nice. So one thing with the knockouts is they need a late summer before it gets fall, late August, a cut back really low. And they'll come back looking so nice into the fall. They have blooms, and you don't have to stop your Thanksgiving dinner to cut them back.
I've got to put the turkey down.
I got to go cut back my knockouts. I can't sleep in front of the television. So, yeah, you do it. You cut them back in August, and they'll perform a whole lot better. Because they still have some warmth going on. They still grow real nicely.
Right.
And it'll start to cool down, and that we don't have much of a problem with the fungus when it cools down like this. They look so much better going into the fall and the winter. And in the spring, they really put on a good show.
Right. So I can hope that answered all your questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tree of the week is the Chinese pistache. As the name implies, it originally from East Asia. Chinese pistache is a rather attractive deciduous. And this tree is dioecious, unlike a lot of trees. Except for the Kentucky coffee tree, is dioecious too. Dioecious meaning male and female are on separate plants.
Mm.
In other words, you get a male plant, they don't have any seeds. You get a female plant, they have seeds, and so on. So we do carry some clones that are definitely male, and you don't have all the mess with it. But anyway, it's a tree with bright green, alternate pinnately compound leaves that turn orange, crimson orange in the autumn. This is one of the primary attributes of the Chinese pistache is the fall color.
Right.
Now, that's variable depending on the weather. If we have cool weather like we had today for the next 6 weeks, you're going to see some really good fall color on the pistachio and the maples and all that.
That is so nice.
But you guys, you don't know how to run the weather in this place.
We
don't have a good fall color.
I think the knob's just broken.
Yeah, the knob is broken. So anyway, the foliage of Pistacia chinensis, which is the name of it, has a unique smell and can be used mainly to identify this tree from others that look similar. It has aromatic red-green flowers that may appear in mid to late summer, and if the male is present, spherical red fruit will follow and mature into a blue color, etc. Anyway, the fruit is kind of unattractive. I really don't like it too much. But other than that, the Chinese pistachio is a very good drought-tolerant tree. When in maturity, it forms kind of a broad umbrella shape, if you will. Kind of flat top, kind of mushroom kind of shape kind of thing.
Gotcha, yeah.
And it has a very deep root system, too. I have one in my front yard that I actually found growing in the backyard, and I planted it up there. And my yard is rock. You put a shovel in the ground, and halfway through it is solid rock. But there's no roots from this tree. The maple trees, fruits are crawling all over the ground everywhere. But this guy doesn't have any surface roots on it. So they're very deep-rooted plants. They do very well in difficult sites of, say, rocky soil, weathering soil. They do poorly in heavy, wet soils because they're just not suited for that kind of a heavy soil. So if you do have heavy, wet soil, you might consider maybe a maple tree instead of a Chinese pistache. But right. The pistache likes it well-drained. It looks like, you know, on a hillside or somewhere, but it doesn't like to be at the bottom of the hill where it stays wet. It'll struggle. Okay?
Yeah, put it on the mountaintop.
So, anyway, it gets 50 to 80 feet tall and maybe 22 to 30 feet wide or so. That's variable depending on the resources and all that. And it tolerates drought, salt, and heat very well. I never watered this thing all summer long. And it never... Never wilted or nothing.
Not phased or anything. Yeah.
No, so. Huh. So, it's a good city tree, too. They're used popular for street trees. And it's fairly easy to transplant and use from, we're at kind of the almost, not quite the northern limit of this tree, but we're there. And it didn't suffer any damage from this cold spell we had. Some of them might have, but most of them did, like everything else. Question of how much water is available at the time and how deep the roots are. But anyway, so it's cold hardy, but it's not cold hardy way up north.
Gotcha.
So it's a good city tree, like I said. Easy to transplant. It's a member of the Anacardiaceae family.
That's a mouthful.
Cashews. It looks very spindly and young. This one's hard to sell when it's young because they're spindly and ugly. They're kind of like redbud trees. They sort of grow like that. Or pin oaks are the same way. Sometimes when you get a 5 gallon pin oak, you can't sell it to save your life because. But how many mature pin oaks you see with a crooked trunk? They always straighten up and grow straight. The Chinese pistachio is kind of the same way. It's kind of irregular and ugly when it's young, but they straighten up with time and they look pretty good. Really good after a while.
Good.
So you might consider this tree as, say, for instance, I use it at my house to shield the driveway from the hot western sun. It does a very good job. When I come home from work, the sun is kind of far down anyway. But anyway, it's in the shade, so it's kind of nice.
Get that coolness just for a little bit.
Yeah. So, and it's good around patios and things like that, but you want to make sure you get a male one, which is going to put it close to the patio or something, just so it doesn't drop debris. This tree, being a male, has dropped nothing all summer long. And it's been a very good one in the landscape. So Chinese pistache is a good one.
Talking with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, on the Green Country Gardener program. It's 8:47 on this Saturday morning. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. If you have any questions for Larry, you can reach us at 918-336-1400. Or 1-800-749-5936.
When you're hungry, head to Egbert's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And for you breakfast lovers, they serve breakfast all day long. Egbert's has 5 locations in the area: Bartlesville, Claremore, Caney, Coffeyville, and Independence. Hungry? Stop in at Egbert's for dine-in, carry-out, and even order your meal online. Egbert's hours are Sunday through Thursday, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 6 a.m. to midnight. That's Egbert's Restaurant.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Hey everybody, my name is Spencer Smythe and I'm the worship pastor at Spirit Church in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I just want to personally invite you to church this Sunday. No matter what your background is, Jesus loves you and He cares about you so much, and we would love to have you join us at 9:30 or 11 a.m. We're located at 2121 South Madison Boulevard here in Bartlesville. You can expect passionate worship, a relevant and powerful message, and lots of love, joy, and peace. We hope to see you on Sunday.
Stay connected with K1 text messaging. Breaking news, headlines, severe weather warnings delivered immediately to you on your phone. Sign up today at BartlesvilleRadio.com. K1 text is brought to you by Dungis Family of Autos, Bob Loftus Furniture, and Brian Kennedy Farmers Insurance Agency. Breaking news, headlines, severe weather warnings delivered to you on your phone. Only on K1 text.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener. I'm Garrett Giles. We've got Larry Glass in here with us. Numbers to call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry, what else is going on?
Well, we talked about a tree that's just about bulletproof. Now we'll talk about a shrub that's just about bulletproof. And that's a barberry, a Japanese barberry, Barberis thumbergii. It's probably one of the more, the thumbergii is the most popular landscape barberry out there, and there are many cultivars out there. And they've got some new ones, too. There's a yellow barberry, which is kind of nice in the landscape to get this little yellow mounds kind of thing.
Right.
And then there's a crimson pygmy barberry, which is a very tough plant in the landscape, and it gives you some purple color in the landscape, too. There's some columnar orange tower box barberries, very narrow upright growing barberries, which are kind of nice, too.
Yeah, that is
so
nice.
Anyway, the shrub is medium to very dense with a lot of thorns on it, which is maybe a bad problem. Perhaps we should sell a pair of gloves with every barberry we sell.
That's pretty good at dealing with, I think.
The leaves are bright green in color, changing to orange and scarlet and reddish in the fall. They can also be orange in color or red in color, depending on the variety and so on. And this is one of the first shrubs to leaf out in the spring. This is true for most of the deciduous barberries. And the yellow flowers in spring are not very showy because they are small and born under foliage, and they have tiny little bright red berries in the fall. So these are plants that are very workhorses in the landscape. They give you some color in the summertime and so on and so on. And see, people just don't like them for the thorns. But they're not that bad. I mean, just you should wear garden gloves anyway out there with all the slugs and things and yucky stuff in the garden.
Protect your hands.
Yeah, so anyway, it's just not that big a deal. And we pull out, when we do landscapes, we pull out more barberries and old ones, too. And sometimes they're not that hard to get out of the ground when they get too old. But anyway, I really like this shrub because it really has really no insect pests, really no disease problems either. And they get out of hand. They get kind of ugly with age, but that culture is a big part of that problem, too. What I mentioned earlier about the yaupon holly cutting it back rather sternly occasionally in the spring, you want to do the same thing with the barberry on an occasional basis because it does tend to get somewhat out of shape and ugly and just kind of tired, worn out looking.
Gross.
But anyway, in the spring, you do want to cut it back rather sternly, and it comes back looking really fresh. Now, these plants, you cut them back early in the spring, like when you do the spirea bushes. You cut them back rather heavily in the spring as well, and they come back looking really nice. This is around Valentine's Day or something, you cut it back. So you can use Kevin's big old shears cut and cut them back really low.
I'm about to ask him.
Yeah. So anyway, they prefer sun to partial shade. They are tolerant of most soil types, and they can withstand dry conditions. They tolerate urban conditions. They transplant easily, and they withstand pruning very well. This is best done after the blooming or late winter for pruning on this. And except with formal hedges that need shearing, you want to shear them on a constant basis and so on. But anyway, they're very tolerant of growing conditions. And there's one variety of barberry that's was very popular a while back, called the William Penn barberry. It had big, notorious thorns on it.
Ooh,
but it had has a showy flower on it and some fall color on the foliage, too. So if you can work around the thorns on it, it's a good plant to have in the landscape. And these are the barberries. If you want something that's bulletproof, this is one of them. Okay, we got a color?
I do believe so, but we'll take a break really quick, Larry, and we'll be right back with the Green Country Gardener.
Although a Republican, Frank Phillips was a man who wisely hedged his bets. And so it was that even though he backed the other candidate, in December 1935, he invited Elliott Roosevelt, the son of President Franklin Roosevelt, to Willow Rock. According to reports, the menu for the day was elk barbecue and beer. Mr. Phillips had already cooked up a plan to make the weekend a bit more special for Roosevelt and for the other guests. Roosevelt wanted to shoot a buffalo, so Frank gave him a rifle and out they went to stalk their prey. Elliott Roosevelt was considered an excellent shot, but as the herd of massive animals roared past, Roosevelt fired once and then twice, but no buffalo hit the ground. Frank's ranch manager, Griff Graham, seized the gun from Roosevelt, took quick aim, and killed the buffalo. Roosevelt was embarrassed to have been such a poor shot in front of friends and his distinguished host, and he took a good-natured ribbing for his shooting skills throughout dinner, when finally Mr. Phillips, roaring with laughter, admitted they had loaded the gun with two blanks. That evening, Mr. Phillips had to leave the ranch for a meeting in Chicago, but Roosevelt remained behind to try again, this time with live ammunition. The next day, Roosevelt wired Frank Phillips the following message: 1,600 pounds and a beauty, and this one only took one shot. The magic of Willow Rock, just as it is today. Come see us soon, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
You've heard it said. I saw it on the radio.
Well, that's true.
But now the radio can be your computer,
your smartphone,
tablet,
or any internet-connected device.
Go to BartlesvilleRadio.com and click on the Listen Now button in the upper right-hand corner.
And you won't miss a minute of news, sports,
or entertainment.
You can take us with you anywhere in the world.
We're AM 1400, FM 93.3, and FM 95.1.
K1, the one you trust,
and your constant online companion.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener. We do have a caller. We'll take that now. How can we help you this morning?
Yeah, I have a strawberry bed that's in a raised bed.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to add some more soil to it to get it to fill up the space in there.
Right.
Can I just add some on top of the strawberry plants?
No. Strawberries kind of like to be kind of mounded up a little bit. So we're coming into a time of the year where perhaps they can be get a rather large root ball around them and lift them up that way, too.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, they like a well-drained situation. They tend to get a stem rot and a fungus on them if there's too much water around them. So they do like to be elevated somewhat.
Okay. All right. I'll see about raising them a little bit at a time.
Very good.
All right. Well, thank you now.
Thanks for calling.
You betcha.
We have open lines.
Oh, okay.
What's going on at the nursery?
At the nursery, we have lots of pansies. I mean, you look out the door. I didn't bring my phone in, but I took some pictures of it. Just a big old sea of pansies. We've grown some of them ourselves, and we've imported some. Imported from, Kansas. Independence, Ooh.
Wow.
But anyway.
Just across the border?
Yeah, so we do have some good supply of pansies and some kale and cabbage. Okay, we got a caller.
We do have a call.
And, the mums. Golly, they're unbeatable. They're huge, yes.
We have a call. Good morning. How can we help you?
Well, I live out south of Bartlesville, and we already had a frost this morning.
Wow. Geez, it was 41 at my house this morning.
No. It frost on top of the cars here.
Huh.
Halfway between Bartlesville and Oshelada.
Oh, that's down in the holler down there, yeah. So, yeah, it'll get a little cooler as your elevation goes down like that. So.
All righty then.
All right, well, thanks for reporting that. First frost of the year.
Yep.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Anyway, back at the nursery, like I said, we've got all kinds of pansies and flowering kale and cabbage and big old mums, too.
Big old mums.
Big old mums. Yeah, these things, they come with their own zip code, so.
Well, what's the zip code?
And there's big around. I mean, how big around can you reach like that? Yeah, and they're $19.95, which is cheaper than some of the big box stores. So anyway,
just gonna throw that out there. Maybe
so. So anyway, we do have a good selection, good color selection too. And boy, they're getting ready to pop, and they really like this cool weather. Mm-hmm. So make room for a few of those mums, and they do well in pots, say on the front porch or something, or you can associate them with corn chucks and pumpkins and make a good fall display. And anyway, at the nursery, we have all kinds of stuff to help out your fall garden. And accessories to help your fall display, and all kinds of houseplants, too.
Hmm.
So come on, check us out. We got all kinds of cool stuff out there at the nursery to look at. And we're at 4605 Nowata Road on the south side of the road, right smack between
Jared's
Madison Avenue and Washington Avenue, Highway 75. And keep your shovel sharp. We will see you next week. Have a good one.
Are you getting married? Get the gift of life insurance. Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460.